This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Hoss along with Bobby Hebert, and it is our weekly visit with the Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Heck of a second half comeback, coach, but man, it's tough. We've already talked about the two-point conversion for two whole days. The only question I would have is that the guy who's tied for first place in the NFL for two-point conversions was on your sideline, but he was hurt, Alvin Kamara. If he's healthy, does that change anything? Does it change the call at all?
Yeah, Mike, Bobby, how you guys doing tonight? Yeah, listen, I'm sure it does. I mean, you know, at that point, Alvin was out for the game. You know, there's a number of ways we could have went. Obviously, with the call, you know, we thought we had the right play called at the time. You know, there was some talk about also running the ball there with Kendra. He had run the ball well in the 2 minute. But if Alvin's out there, listen, Alvin changes everything. It changes the way the teams play against you, the way teams defend you, the defense is all that. So, yeah, naturally, no doubt about that.
Now, Coach Rizzi, we do call this show the second guess, and I said I always did good in my debate class. So I could play both sides of the fence, whether to the right or to the left, and have some arguments. So when people say, no, it's all in hindsight because you are second guessing, what if we'd play to go in overtime? Now, I would say the argument, and I've talked to some neighbors and fans, well, considering, well, we're playing well defensively, that we only gave up 6 points the second half, and it's not sudden death. So let's say we lose the coin toss. No, Jane Daniels, they need to go score a touchdown. If we hold up to a field goal, then you kind of know where you're at, where you have four downs to continue to move the ball. You're not punting. You have four downs, and maybe you get in field goal range, you extend it, or you get a touchdown. Or you're at home, you're a 7.5-point underdog, and, boy, you can win it on one play. Considering it was a tale of two halves, you look at the first and second half. So I could see both sides, but like you said, it's been your aggressive nature, whether it was for the Rams game and going for two if we're able to score, or against Washington. So let's say Monday night, I don't know, we a significant underdog against Green Bay. Yeah, but that's why they play the game, pros versus pros. Why not shock the world? And we basically had two touchdown underdogs. So if we come again against Green Bay, are you going for it again, the two-point play? I mean, it might happen. Who knows? It's already happened under your tenure against the Rams and Commanders. So you might say, well, You know, that's the approach I'm taking, and if it be against Green Bay, why not? We're going for it again.
Bob, that was I don't know where to start. I don't know where I get my start with Green Bay. Am I starting with the Rams or am I starting with Washington? Let's start with Washington. I'll say this. In every game, as you guys know, there's ebbs and flows to the game, and that's the beauty of this game. And I think anytime you're talking about game management, time management, fourth down decisions, 2-point plays, all that stuff, I don't think you can make a blanket statement, you know, as far as analytics go. I know we've talked about that on this show before. And so I felt like the way that game had gone, you know, we obviously dug a big hole in the first half. We dug our way out, and we gave ourselves a chance, one play on the 2-yard line to win the game. And you know, I don't regret it for 1 second making a decision. I think it was the right decision at that time. And obviously it didn't work out. You guys all know how this works. If we complete the pass and we get the 2-point conversion, it was the greatest call in the history of, you know, of the world. And we didn't, it's easy to second guess. And so I just felt like it was the right call for the moment. I didn't want Jaden Daniels to get the ball back. We saw him, although we did a phenomenal job defensively for the game, I would agree with that. We saw him also make some plays with his feet, throwing the ball. They missed on some deep shots in the second half that were damn close to being explosives. We didn't want to bring him back on the field. And so I would tell you that I think the decision, I don't regret it looking back on it. And I would tell you, if we're in that situation in Green Bay, we'll see how the game plays out. If the game plays out differently, then, maybe I would make a different decision on the road. Who knows? And then the other thing you have to factor in is this. In the regular season, like you said, it's sudden death only if the other team scores a touchdown. The other thing you have to take into account is that it's only a 10-minute half. And, you know, coming out of there with a tie wouldn't have really helped us either. And so, which is a possibility, obviously, in the regular season. And they had controlled the ball for 40 minutes out of 20, you know, out of 60 for that game. So there's just a lot of factors as we went through there. And I just felt like last play of the game, 2-yard line, here we go. So it was a decision for that particular game. I understand the criticism, and I understand the second guessing, but I don't regret it for 1 second.
You know, Coach Rizzi, this, well, if you'd have told me this before the game, I'd have taken this right off the bat. Are we going to hold Washington to 20 points in the scoring defense? The reason why I say that, five wins, we've held our opponent to 20 points or less. We were 5-1 before the game. I would have taken that. So I think our defense, you look how they responded. I thought, I want you to comment on these individuals, I thought DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan, they drank out of the fountain of youth. But they were rolling. I think Chase Young, we were getting after overall, playing hard. But look, DeMario Davis, 14 total tackles, 9 and assisted, a sack, 2 tackles for a loss. Looking at Cam Jordan, a couple of sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss. I thought that we played with a lot of passion in the dome. And that's credit to you, because I've been on teams before how that first half went, and teams giving up the ghost. They didn't give up the ghost on you. You got to give a lot of credit to you and the pro. And being a pro, coming back the second half and fighting their behind off to be in that game and have a chance to win.
Yeah, Bobby, I agree. I think DeMario might have had his best game of the season for us. I think Cam probably played his best game of the season for us. And that's a credit to those guys in week 15, game 14, for those guys at this point in this stage in their career. It says a lot about them as pros and as people and as leaders. And so I can't say enough positive things about those two guys that you mentioned. I think Chase Young in the last 2 weeks has probably had his best 2 weeks as a Saint. And so those guys are really playing their best football right now. And that's, like I said, a credit to them, credit to their preparation. I appreciate the credit, but I'm going to give the credit back to the players because, you know, I think, Bobby, you mentioned it last week on the show. At the end of the day, it's about showing up every day, being a pro, doing what you're supposed to do, doing what you get paid for, and those guys are just exemplary examples, or phenomenal examples of that. And so credit to them. And yes, I agree with you. If you had told me, I think I mentioned that in my post-game press conference, if I thought they were going to score 20 points on the day, I would have told you we were going to win the game as well. And unfortunately, we didn't get any points on the board in the first half, and that's what hurt us.
Just getting started. Got to take a break. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. This is The Visit Pensacola, Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Haas in studio, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, and head coach Darren Rizzi. It is our weekly visit with him on The Visit Pensacola, Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It was a wacky one for most of the day. I mean, a field goal pulled off, a touchdown pulled off. I'm going to talk about the field goal penalty pulled off, but do not worry. You're not going to get fined. But I just want to talk about the play. So Peyton Turner is to the left of the long snapper. And so he goes to the right, doesn't really touch him, doesn't engage, puts his left hand on him, but he's not engaging him. And then Peyton jumps, and Ott kind of blocks into him, lunges at him. Peyton has nothing else to do but to fall on him. I guess my question, so that you don't get fined, is what is Peyton supposed to do? What did he do wrong?
Okay, so he's on that particular rush, he's crossing over from one A gap to the other. So one side of the long snapper to the other. And then the long snapper, both on punts and on field goals, is a defenseless player until he, you know, brings his head up, and you know, so you're not allowed to make forcible contact in the head neck area until he's able to brace himself. So the explanation that I got from the officials during the next timeout was that when Peyton crossed over, his back leg, his left leg, hit the long snapper in the head. That's the explanation that I got. You guys can watch the play and draw your own conclusions.
So you, I would say this. You would tell Peyton Turner not to do anything differently next week.
The answer is Peyton Turner did nothing wrong.
Okay,
that's her correct response. Right. Yep. Well, he didn't do anything wrong, and obviously you guys know I disagreed with the call.
Well, Coach Rizzi, now the public, they agree, nothing to do with the Saints or Washington. The public disagrees with that officiating crew. Boy, talk about incompetence. You cannot have incompetence at the NFL level considering all the money involved. And when you look at it, obviously you look at the punt, the time ran out, how they messed it up, but referee Sean Hockley and the crew, and then that didn't benefit the Saints because, you know, if you get more than one chance, you tend to be more accurate as a kicker. But at the end of the game, who in the hell is running the clock? And look, I don't care if it's the Saints or Commanders, whatever. You want to always have an opportunity. But you cannot, because that was like 3 or 4 seconds. The covering the official mistakenly stopped the clock in that situation. It should not have stopped. I don't know that. Whoever did that, I don't know how he can work again in the NFL. He better be doing something else, considering the impact on the game and then the money, the public. Because if you're going to embrace gambling, I don't know if you want to comment on this, but it's part of the NFL now. There's a lot of people ticked off of that. You know, they might not even be a Saints or Commanders fan. They just watching the game. They got a little coin, but they want it to always be on the up and up. And I don't know who that cat is, you know, but come on. You cannot afford to screw up like that in professional football when the game's on the line and as far as officiating is concerned.
Yeah, there's nothing that you said, Bob, that I disagree with. You know, I'll start with the play at the end of the game. My gut tells me that the covering official, because it was a fourth down, I think he briefly got confused and thought it was fourth and goal. So if it was fourth and goal and Foster came up short of the goal line, I think for a split second he waved to stop the clock because he forgot that it wasn't fourth and goal, it was fourth and one. So that's that. So just the clock stopped for a couple seconds. The third down play that they gave the kicker a free practice round on the driving range. The quarter was over for about 5 seconds. So whichever one of the officials there is supposed to shut the quarter down, obviously they failed to do that in that situation. So that's really what happened there. That you know, people think that I was upset that they gave them, the field goal, should have been no good. No, the quarter was over. So that part, undoubtedly the quarter was over. I'm upset that they didn't shut the play down and they gave the kicker a chance to go ahead and take a swing. So there's no doubt that the quarter was over. I wasn't arguing that. It was over for about 5 seconds. My issue was that, it was just obviously they mismanaged it and, they let the kicker get a free swing. So, listen, you mentioned something about the officials doing something else. Well, that they all do something else, but not full time. So I'm a big fan of or a big supporter of making the officials full time.
I agree with that 100%, Coach Grizzly. And, I agree with also 100%. And he built on this performance. I don't know the extent of Alvin Kamara's groin injury, but Kendre Miller, he came into the game averaging 4.4 yards for the season, 4.5 yards. And then in the game, he had 9 carries, 5.1 average. He had that long gain of 17. I thought that was really well blocked by the offensive line. But a great opportunity for Kendre Miller going forward to finish the season strong. At Green Bay, you got the Raiders, then at Tampa Bay. So, Kendre Miller, I remember we drafted him. He said he wanted to be the man. I'm here to take Alvin Kamara's job. I'm like, hey, dude, slow your roll. Just contribute on the team. But here's your chance. Here's your chance to be the man right now and to be that running back you can count on. Because I know the Packers are going to count on Josh Jacobs. I know that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about the Josh Jacobs part. Listen, I'm proud of Kendre the last couple of weeks. I'm happy for Kendre the last couple of weeks. Kendre's challenge is going to be to sustain success. We all know, everyone that follows the Saints knows that that's been his deal, is that he hasn't had these long stretches of playing time. And so, listen, I'm here to support Kendre. I'm proud of him for the last couple of weeks of preparation. He's done a really nice job with the ball in his hand. I think one of the things he can get better at is when the ball's not in his hand, pass protection, route running, details, formations, things like that. So that's something that he's got to continue to work on. But obviously he's been a positive for us here these last couple of weeks, and I agree with you. I think this is a great opportunity for Kendre moving forward. So, baby steps and just putting one game after the other and stacking them up. And you guys know in this league that's a big deal. If you could consistently do something over and over again, those are the players that you want on your team. And so really a good couple weeks, small sample size. So let's see if you can continue it. But certainly in his corner right now.
Need to take a break. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. You're listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. This is the Visit Pensacola Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Visit Pensacola, the way to beach, which is a strange segue into Monday night in Green Bay. Right now, the forecast for next Monday night is a high of 31, low of 27, and snow. And so that could change. Who knows? We know it's going to be cold. I guess the question is, how do you prepare a team in New Orleans, even though we're going to get a cold front, how do you prepare them for that here?
Yeah, we'll take all the cold fronts we can get right now. So hopefully Mother Nature is nice to us here this end of this coming week. Hey, listen, this time in Green Bay, if the temperature has 2 digits, we'll take it. We've been up there before. People that don't know, I've actually been up there a couple times at the end of the year, throughout my career, in the NFL. So, listen, it's going to be a phenomenal atmosphere. And you got to remember, we got a lot of guys on our roster that have, played a lot of football in cold weather, and whether it be college or high school or whatever. So it's not like a lot of these guys are doing it for the first time. So we got a chance to go up to New York, New Jersey, I should say, a couple weeks ago and play, although it was a balmy 40-something degrees that day. But listen, we're going to practice outside this week on the grass. That's one of our challenges. You look at some of the teams, the Dolphins, the 49ers, that have played up there the last couple of times, and there's guys slipping and sliding all over the place. It's going to be important that we get the right footwear on. We're going to get up there and do a walkthrough up there on Sunday you know, somewhere and try to get adjusted. But it is what it is. I mean, the sidelines are nice and warm, and the football is the football, and blocking and tackling is blocking and tackling. So it is what it is. We're excited. It's Monday Night Football. It's Lambeau Field. If you can't get excited about that, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, Coach Rizzi, I don't know, the coldest game in Saints history. Didn't we win at Cleveland? Now you might say, well, the Browns aren't the Packers, but that was cold. It ain't going to be that cold, and I think we're outstanding when we beat Cleveland. I think Andy Dalton might have been quarterbacking then. Remember we won at Cleveland? So we've been in the colder games than it's going to be in Green Bay. And the one thing I remember, that kind of grass, I think you need those old-school screw-in cleats. You know, and how, you know when the trainer has that little wrench and they screw it on, and how long do you want them? So, yeah, that makes all the difference, the old-school screw-in cleats. But, Coach Rizzi, looking at, you know what I've been disappointed in somewhat, because we have not built upon this, and we did this last year, and it was a shame we didn't make the postseason. We were plus 11 in the turnover margin. And at one time, I want to say the highest maybe we got this year, we were plus 4. And we were plus 2 coming into the game. Now we're plus 1. We're still on the plus side, but it seems like, I know it can come in bunches, but we haven't been as opportunistic as far as taking away the football like we were at the beginning of the year. And especially even last year, like I said, being plus 11, that's a winning formula. So is it just a little bad luck? Or, well, what's your take that we've kind of gone the other way? Instead of building them on that plus 4, we're now only at plus 1 with 3 games remaining.
Yeah, Bobby, it's a heck of a point. These last 5 games, you know, that's something that we can definitely get better at, is taking the football away. You know, we've had a couple of missed opportunities. We've dropped a couple of interceptions, but that's something we were doing at the beginning of the year. Is we were actually, you know, we were up there. I think we were leading the league in interceptions there for a while. You know, the good news is we haven't turned the ball over a lot these last 5 games. The bad news is we haven't taken it away. We certainly want to be better than plus 1 for the year. You know, up there, you know, in their place, if I'm not mistaken, I think that Matt LaFleur's teams are 24-0 at home when they've won the turnover battle. So that's going to be the number one stat of the day. And they're under 500 at home under Coach LaFleur when they lose a turnover battle. So this is going to be the key to the game. Number one is going to be the screw-ins. And yes, you're right. We're going to have the screw-ins on. And then number two is going to be that turnover takeaway battle. But yeah, I agree. We need to do a better job of getting those and creating some opportunities for the offense.
You know, Coach Rizzi, I'm looking at the challenges, and it's more, I guess, on the defensive side of the ball. You know, you look at special teams and you look at offense and defense, and I thought Washington gave us a great challenge when you look at a special teams unit. I know like McCaffrey, McNichols, they had a long return of 34 and 29, so the coverage units are there. Well, what did you see on film? I want you to comment on that, you know, as far as special teams, but also I wanted to add, boy, but the defense better pack a lunch. I'm looking at 3 of the top 6 offenses we still have left to play. Like Green Bay at number 3, Washington was 5, and Tampa Bay being 6, how hot they are. So it's going to be a challenge. And you know what? Not only one of the top net yards per game, but they're all amongst the best rushing teams. Washington was 3, and I think we did overall an outstanding job. You look at their running back, Robinson. We held them to 3.1 average. I thought that was outstanding. But it's not going to get any easier because Green Bay, you know, we talk about Josh Jacobs and even Tampa Bay, they're going to both want to run the football. I'm not even talking about the Raiders, but I'm just looking at teams that are amongst the best right now in the league, and they're still left on our schedule.
Yeah, hey, Bobby, Josh Jacobs is having a phenomenal season, and he's kind of the heartbeat right now. Their offense particularly early in the game. You saw that last night. If anybody watched that Green Bay game last night, you know, they're going to feed him early and often. The run defense is going to be a very, very key component to this game. We've done a good job the last couple of weeks. You know, the leading rusher for both teams, the Giants and Washington, the last 2 weeks was their quarterback. We've done a good job slowing the run game down with the running backs. We got to do a little better job with the quarterbacks, but I agree. We're going to have to bring that pack that lunch, And when guys pack that lunch, it could be a frozen lunch because it's going to be below freezing. So you could bring a nice ice pop with you in that lunch pail. So as far as the special teams go, listen, that was the best core group that we've played this entire year. I'm talking about Washington's core units. And I thought we stood toe-to-toe with them. There was no huge plays either way. It was kind of a wash. I was really, really happy with Blake Groupie. The way he bounced back, those two field goals he hit were monstrous and gave us a chance to have a chance there to win the game at the end. I thought Matt Hayball responded with a couple of really good punts there to pin them back inside the 20 a couple times. Got some really good coverage out of some young players. Rico Payton, Jalen Ford was active for this game. He had a couple of tackles. So I thought it was a little bit of a stalemate. And at least, you know, our guys played toe to toe from the special team standpoint. We had a couple of decent kick returns ourselves, Kendre. But I was satisfied with the way we played in that game. Could have been a little better on kick coverage. There's always a couple things you want to get better at, but that was the best individual group we've played. So hats off to those guys and hats off to Matt and Blake for having bounced back games. So very, very proud of them.
Well, Coach, have a good week. Just keep fighting the fight until somebody tells you you can't fight the fight anymore. Three games left. Good luck, and we'll talk to you at the end of this week.
Mike, Bobby, always appreciate you guys. You guys have a great week.
Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show and the Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we'll have more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints, when we talk to Brian Young, former Saints player. Now he's a coach, been with the team for a long, long time. Right now he's the primary defensive line coach. Bobby and I will talk to him next on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
And now let's go behind the scenes with this week's Saints assistant coach, brought to you by Rouse's Market. Shop Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints, and that is Saints primary defensive line coach Brian Young. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good, bud. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And so, ninth season as a coach, you played for the Saints. You've been with the organization since 2004. Now, I get it, man. The end result is wins and losses. That's it. I get it. But if I'd have told you before the game, you guys would get 8 sacks and 6 quarterback hits and not, you know, Jaden rushing the football, but Brian Robinson, you know, not much. I mean, you probably would have taken that, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I had no idea. Listen, that was not even the game plan. I was surprised when I saw we had that many sacks, to be honest with you.
Now, Brian, do you ever, you know, I know they know you played in the NFL. But they know, like when you talk with them, do you tell them I had 3 sacks in one game? Did they know that? Or you know, I guess they could Google that and find that out. That's what I remember. Every time I think of you, I was like, oh, all I know is Sean Payton's first game in Cleveland. Brian Young had 3 sacks. That don't happen by accident. How many people in the world in the NFL could say they had 3 sacks in a real game?
Look, man, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, man. Listen, I was not a great pass rusher. I kind of got lucky sometimes. I was more of an effort rusher, different than some of the guys that we got on our team. These guys know how to rush a passer. But, no, look, man, like, yeah, I had 3 sacks in that one game. I mean, I think I had, 15 in my career. I didn't get a lot of opportunities to rush a passer because the coaches knew I wasn't a great pass rusher. But, like I said, I did my job, and that was about it. But these guys that we've got right now, like with Brissy and Cam inside and, you know, with Chase off the edge, I mean, these guys know how to rush the passer, and they've done a hell of a job. And like I said, I was shocked the other night when we had 8 sacks at the end of that game. I did not see that coming because we knew we were going to get a lot of double-chip protections, and you know, so we just knew that there was going to be – our biggest thing was to try to keep this guy in the pocket so we didn't let him beat us with his legs, which I thought they did a pretty good job of on top of the 8 sacks.
Well, you know, some fans came up to him and they go, well, Bobby, it looks like Peyton Turner's playing now. And you always say, oh, if he plays, he's going to be productive. And he was a flash in the pan, but I don't know. It seems like Peyton Turner hasn't, I don't, you know, it's not just sacks, but, you know, you look, you know, he ended up having like three total tackles, which is three assists. But Peyton Turner, you know, whenever you got those first-round defensive ends, you want him maybe to mature more along the lines of Carl Granderson as far as production. What's your take on Peyton Turner, where he's at? Because at least he's playing, where in the past, you know, kind of like dealing with Davenport, man, just play. We need you to play.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he's, you know, early on in his career, you know, he had a lot of injuries early on, and so he's finally healthy. And look, man, he's doing a good job. He's buzzing his butt. And look, he wants to get out there more. You know, we're trying to get him out there as much as we can. And like I said, we're going to try to continue to increase his reps, you know, the more consistency he's playing. And like I said, he's done a really good job. I thought last week he played really well in the run game, and he had a couple of nice rushes on the inside when we were able to get him out there. But, you know, everybody wants to rush the passer, and so when you got guys like right now, we got two edge guys that are rushing really well off the edge. Like I said, Brissy and Cam's done a great job, and so you got to sprinkle in guys when you can. You know, we've been in some close games and some tight games, and so, you know, you want to make sure you got your, you know, your best guys that are out there at that time to be able to try to get these wins going. And so that's kind of been where the situation's been. It hasn't been as much about what he can't do. It's just more about the situations we've been in and we put ourselves in, and so we're trying to win these games, and so you try to get your best guys out there whenever you can. And so, but he's done a great job. Like I said, he busts his butt in practice. Like I said, he's starting to play the run a little bit better for us. And so, you know, he's doing well now that he's actually finally able to stay healthy this year for us.
And, Coach, you got to believe it's the same for Tano Passanio. I mean, he's been close. I know he's been back practicing, but we've been watching this guy on the sidelines working out just by himself in Irvine this whole season. I mean, he's got to be just itching to get back into the game because that rehab stuff, mate, you know, it is brutal.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. He's ready to go, man. He's listen. It's hard. It's hard to work harder than he has. Like I said, and to deal with what he dealt with, you know, right before the season got going, and so. But he's been out there every day. Like I said, I've been doing drills with him. He was with the trainers the whole time. You know, he's worked with Reggie a ton, and Reggie's been with the D line for years, so he knows a lot of our terminology and a lot of the drills that we do. And he's put Tano through those drills. And like you get out there right now, you know, we're an individual, and I mean, he's got teach tape out there. Like it's like he hasn't missed a beat. And so yeah, he's ready to go and get rolling this week. And it's going to be good to get him back. Like I said, he was definitely one of our better interior rushers at the end of last year. And like I said, he's big, he's long, he's strong. I mean, you can't build a better football player when you look at this guy. I mean, he's 295 pounds. He's like 3% body fat. It's crazy.
Now, Coach Young, how do you go about, because you had the whole practice. And so let's say you know, you're working on scout team, not working on, but just giving him a look, scout team defense. What's your involvement like with, like, Kendall Vickers? You look, a practice squad guy, three-year guy, a veteran out of Tennessee. You look at Ryder Anderson, a couple of years out of Indiana Hoosiers. So is it something that you're telling them to work on their technique? Or do you, when you're running the scout team, to give the offense a look, like how the Packers are going to look. So what approach do you take? Are they going through the motions, or are you telling them to work on different things to try and better their skill, even though they're running scout team?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, like I've always told you guys, I mean, look, everything you do out there is muscle memory. You're trying to build muscle memory. So when you're out there playing, you don't have to think. You just react and you do what you're supposed to do. And so, like, when you're out there on the scout team, you know, I always tell these guys, hey, look, man, you got to go hard. You got to come out of your hips. You got to learn to strike blocks the right way. You got to do those things in order to build that muscle memory, because if you're not building good muscle memory, you're building bad muscle memory. And so now there's going to be certain times where, like I said, the offense needs a certain look, or they need you to do certain things. And if they do, then that's what you do. But whenever you're out there just going, I mean, you need to work on the things that we're trying to get you to do, if, as long as it doesn't, you know, contradict what they're wanting you to do for what they're going to see that week on offense.
So, Coach, I was curious in doing some of the research and, you know, give credit where credit is due. I was reading the Mike Triplett article from New Orleans Football, and he was talking about that you had, since 07, 23 knee surgeries. Now, this was a November article, so I'm hoping there's no update there. Man, that's unbelievable. Same knee.
Yeah, no one's in sight anytime soon on the knee.
Yeah, everything's good.
Yeah, it's doing well. I mean, like I said, you know, it's still a little stiff, but I mean, as far as like, I mean, I train on it, I work out on it, I do CrossFit on it. The only thing I don't do is I don't run anymore on it. But I mean, I'll do box jumps, I'll do jump rope, I squat, I do everything else. So it's been good, you know, because, I mean, I sat on my butt for like 10 years because I couldn't do anything. And so after I finally had the knee replacement, you know, I just talked with the doctor and said, look, I'm gonna start training again, and I'm going to push it until it hurts. And if it hurts, I'll back off. And so that's kind of what I've done, and it's held up well, and it's doing good.
We're good.
Now, Coach Young, looking at your career, and I'm always intrigued with players. I look at Carl Grandison, you know, from Sacramento. He ends up at Wyoming. What is your background? How do you end up at UTEP to be a minor? You know, University of Texas, El Paso. Yeah, how did that come about?
So my dad was in the military, and so we actually got stationed in El Paso. My dad went to the Sergeant Major's Academy there when I was in the second half of my seventh grade year. And so, like I said, we moved around a bunch, you know, when I was growing up. And so my dad knew I wanted to play football. Well, we lived in Germany a lot when I was younger, and at that time they didn't have, you know, football until you got to high school. And so I never really played outside of 2 years of Pee Wee League. I really didn't play any football. And so when we got back to the States, my dad graduated from the Sergeant Major's Academy, and they offered him to stay on as an instructor. And since he knew I wanted to play football, he decided to stay there and take a job there, so I didn't have to move anymore for a while. And then I went through, spent the rest of my time there all the way through college. I ended up staying there and going to UTEP after high school.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Understand you had an extra day this week before heading up to Green Bay. You know, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for spending some time with us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Coach.
Defensive line coach Brian Young will say goodbye to Bobby. As always, thank you, my friend.
All right, Hoss. Yeah, they've had a pack of lunch against Josh Jacobs. I know that.
There we go. There's always a little land yap. I love it. Thank you, Bobby. And we come back. We'll go back to the Silver Slipper Casino, and we will talk with Mike Dettillier. This is the Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. And now we get to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettillier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints. And back to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, where it is a doubleheader again. Monday Night Football, the first game underway. Chicago 4-9 at Minnesota, 11-2. It's 3-0 Minnesota on that. The second game about to get underway. Atlanta, which has lost four straight in Las Vegas against the 2-11 Raiders. And then now the late start. That's going to be Desmond Ridder starting for Las Vegas against his old team, Atlanta. I mean, you just never know in these games.
Yeah, Mike, the way I look at it, man, Desmond Ridder, Atlanta gave him every opportunity last year to be the guy. And you got some weapons on that team now, but he was so erratic throwing the football. And I think the Raiders saw that very early in camp. But then all of a sudden, you know, you get your top two guys knocked out. You got no choice now. Desmond's got to get in there and go up against the Falcons. Their defense has been lousy the past 4 weeks. But, Mike, what's shocking is how bad Kirk Cousins has played in that four-week time frame. I've seen him have a bad game, but never a bad month. And that's what you're looking at. And they've tried to change their identity. Hoss, I really believe that they're built offensively to run the ball. And they are one of the top run-blocking groups in NFL. They aren't necessarily one of the top pass protection groups. And, man, Kirk Cousins getting a lot of heat on him. But they're not built to run with Zach Robinson, who came in from the Rams, is trying to do there. That's not their identity. They really want to run the ball and set things up. Then they can throw. Now they are throw first and run it later. It's not going to work, and it's a must win. Let the Falcons lose this game. And you think doing talk show radio in New Orleans is bad? Do that in Atlanta if they lose five straight games and they lose to the Raiders and Desmond Ridder.
Right. I mean, so much on the line for them. They have... Then they get the Giants at home, then at Washington, and then back home to Carolina. So we'll see. But you're right. You know, you've lost five straight. You go to 6-8. I mean, you had control of the division, really, for the most part at one point. So we'll wait and see how that one turns out as we move on to the next opponent, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing, first in service, that being the Packers. And, wow, what a statement victory on the road in Seattle last night, 30-13. They scored the first four times they touched it. But because if you look at the North, you're like, Green Bay 10-4, they're in good shape. Yeah, but the Lions are 12-2. The Vikings, if they win tonight, will be 12-2. If you're Green Bay, you don't want to be 10, you don't want to get to five losses because there's other teams out there, right? This game is still, even though they're in pretty good position, this is a Green Bay team that it just can't kind of mail it in.
No, they are a really tough out. And what has surprised me is how well they've played on defense. Now, they do have a ton of first and second round pick draft choices defensively. They got a bunch of them there. Bringing in Josh Jacobs was a huge addition. He can now. Aaron Jones was a good player, but Josh Jacobs is better than Jones. And then you got that bevy of young receivers and two young tight ends and Jordan Love. They've had to rebuild their offensive line, but they have won a lot of games this year because their defense has played well. And we talked about a little bit on second guess, and he was a guy I saw in high school. He was not one of the top 10 or 12 players in the state of Louisiana. Edgerton Cooper, he goes to Texas A&M, and there were people there that told me, man, he's been a disappointment the first 2 years. Last year, he was unbelievable. I thought he was the most improved player on the Aggie team and in the SEC. He ends up being a second-round pick, and he's a really good athlete. Watch what he did last night. He was all over the field. It was like twins. He was here. He was there. They have really, really kind of caulked it up. But to think right now, the Vikings are sitting with 11 wins. You might have thought Detroit could have done that. But you didn't think Minnesota would get 11 wins this early in the season with still, you know, four games left to play. That's been the biggest surprise, but Green Bay is a really good and talented young team. And last year they had an opportunity against the 49ers, and they let it slip away. They really had a shot in that game and let it slip away late. But I think the Packers, when they get to get into the playoffs, they're going to be a very, very tough team to knock out of there.
Especially,
and they're playing for something.
Right.
So the Saints are going to get their best effort.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, even at 10-4, you take nothing for granted because all of a sudden five losses with two games left, you know, you just get into that trick bag, and it'll probably be divisional because if the Lions are 12-2 and the Vikings win tonight and 12-2 and the Green Bay's 10-4, their last two games gotta be divisional because they don't have enough losses.
And think about it, Mike. When's the last time in the new format of the playoffs throughout the last, 25 years? You got three teams from one division. Three teams are going to make it from the NFC North. I mean, that's amazing, the accumulation of talent and really good young coaches there with Dan Campbell. What we've seen with Kevin O'Connell, certainly with the Vikings, and what LaFleur has done with Green Bay. He had some big moccasins to fill. You know, McCarthy won a lot of games there. And to go through the changeover at quarterback, from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, and, you know, just all the kind of swirl of the tornado there, they have really handled that well. They've never been known to be a major player in free agency, but they were this past spring, Josh Jacobs. He becomes the man for Green Bay.
And he makes Jordan Love's job so much easier. So Jordan Love, 20-27 last night, 229, two touchdowns, was not sacked, ran it one time for 4 yards. I mean, that's, you know, now they were ahead. They jumped on top of Seattle. That's why it was such a statement win for them.
They were, Seattle, the only time they were in the game is when they kicked off to start it. That was it. After that, it was total domination by the Packers. And that score does not indicate how dominant the Packers were in that game.
I tell you one other thing. If we, you know, venture back quickly to the Saints game and our final question, when you talk about a time of possession for Washington, 40-50 to 19-10, however you want to look at it, they had to be on the sidelines, and I have friends in the D.C. area that they couldn't function. They couldn't believe it had gotten to this point when you had dominated that much and they were a two-point conversion away from losing or an extra point away from being in overtime. And if they'd have been in overtime, I know they'd have been going, what? Who's in overtime? We are? In this game? I mean, it's amazing.
Mike, I did two shows in D.C. this morning. That's the first thing they came out with. How the hell did this game get so close? And the Saints had a chance to win it. They were, you know, just head-scratching. that it was a dominant first half for Washington. Really was. And in the second half, yeah, you moved the ball, penalty. Moved the ball, penalty. It's not like you got turnovers. Because one thing with Jaden, I think Cliff Kingsbury's gotten that in his head. Don't throw a bad pass. Take the sack instead of throwing it out there. And it's a head-scratcher of a game to play. But listen, they've won crazy ways this year.
Yes, they have. They won yesterday, and they won on a Hail Mary with Chicago. As always, appreciate your insight, Mike Dettelier.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks to Mike. Thanks to Bobby. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. And thanks to listening tonight to the Saints Coaches Show. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. We'll see you next time.